I have a question for Dina. Maybe she can clear that up. Dina, don't we, I mean, we do have somewhat of a tier. There are some affiliates that are not, that choose not to be involved in governance. Am I correct?
There are many stations that choose not to be involved with governance. So I'm not sure why you're asking that question.
Well, I remember when we discussed this about 4 or 5 years ago, and the nomination process, and I don't, you know, actually probably should have a written procedure for approving affiliate directors, and like this is what should be done, and a written procedure. At one point, our affiliate directors were not even approved until the first meeting where the directors were seated.
Can I speak to that matter?
Yes.
That's the way the bylaws are written. The affiliate director election is supposed to be in January, and the affiliate directors are supposed to be seated in March. There was a special motion with this PNB, which is in violation of the bylaws, to allow the election to happen now, which actually disenfranchises the new PNB directors from voting for the affiliate reps, because it's the election happened by the old PNB and not the new PNB.
The problem, the reason for doing that, if I can say so, was that if you bring affiliates in after the other PNB members are seated, that causes an unequal situation, so that the affiliates never get to be chairs of any committees or have an equal representation with other PNB members. That's why that was brought up.
You're in for the staff.
Hello?
We heard you,
Chandra, were you done with your question?
Yes, I was.
Okay, Serene?
Yeah, I just wanted to actually give a slightly different explanation than the one I think it's Adina just gave. It's not so much that they can't be chairs of the committees, because chairs of committees usually aren't, you know, chosen until later in the year anyway, because by the time the PNB votes its members of the various committees, and then the local boards vote their members of the committees. And then you have a meeting, and you give a notice, and then you do an election. Usually the affiliates would be on board by that time. Many committees don't get started until, you know, well into March. But the concern, I think, and I don't necessarily agree with this, but I know it was part of the argument at the time, and this isn't the first year that rule was adopted. I think it was also adopted last year when you came aboard, wasn't it, Rick? Didn't you all come aboard in January?
Is that true?
Right. The point was that they could not be officers. Now, there's disagreement about whether,
you're
in
correct.
Fact, that was the
you're correct.
Officers of the board, because the
right.
officers would be chosen at the January meeting, and these folks would not be joining until March. And some people argue that that was a specific intent, that it was never the intent to have an affiliate director as chair of the board, sort of a landlord-tenant scenario that I won't get into again, get into at this point, but that was sort of the background there.
Teresa Stack.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Serene has some very legitimate points, but ideally, before last year, ideally, at the first meeting of the PNB, and we're still developing these things, at the first meeting a couple years ago, first thing at the meeting, we passed around a sheet of paper and people stated what committees they were on. So when they left the January meeting, they should the PNB director should already have the conveners of the committees and the directors that are on those committees. And hopefully they would convene their first meetings in February. So by the March meeting, they would have conducted their meetings, and they would have selected chairs. So the purpose in moving up the affiliate director election was not only to allow them to actually run for chair, as Marty Durlin was elected chair, I think because she was on her second year, I think. I could be wrong, but I think that's how she... I forget how that was done, but she was a superb chair. But it was not only an issue of allowing them to be officers, but also it's tremendously disconcerting to have them start, you know, a full 2 months after everybody else for committee work and other issues. So.
I'd like to point out, I appreciate Serene remembering that I participated in this, because I'd like to point out that I actually gave up 2 months of my term in agreeing to this whole scheme. You know, otherwise I would still be a director through March of this year under the old scheme. Just a little note for folks. Is there further discussion on this?
I would like also to say, the way it was phrased by David Adelson, he did not imply... And I did not get the impression, I don't know the legalese that you would use, but I don't think that our procedure was contrary to the intent in the bylaws in selecting someone. I mean, if we didn't have problems with the elections right now, we would have all of our directors for the board, and they could actually be holding the meetings now to select the affiliate directors. So,
point of order.
Go ahead. John, what's your point of order?
Well, I'm just wondering, if we're now moving from apples to oranges, did this discussion begin with the question, can it be legally contractually arranged that some affiliates are qualified to send directors and some are not? And then we discussed that, and I said, well, we need a legal ruling. Then we kind of left that, as I understand it, and now we're talking about the timeline of when affiliates should be elected and seated. Is that, maybe this is legitimate, but I thought the agenda item had to do with resolving what we were going to do about this conflict around...
Affiliate directors elected from non-paying stations. That's the issue.
Right.
Well, that's what I said, yeah.
Right, and the point is well taken. Otherwise, we could have these other discussions, but they need to be on the agenda for discussion in our limited time.
Well, we should probably resolve one and then move on to the other if we wish, yeah.
Well, right, and I appreciate the interest in it, although the board has already approved the current process, so we would need to take this up at another time. If there's a way to address this, I have this in front of me. For purposes of this section, an affiliate station shall be defined as any nonprofit, non-commercial broadcaster that broadcast programming provided or distributed by the foundation pursuant to a written agreement with the foundation. So it seems to me that if the station agrees to air programming, that then makes them an affiliate. There's no mention in here of fees or dues or anything. It just says if there's a written agreement that the station will broadcast programming provided or distributed by the foundation, then that's what makes an affiliate station. That defines the affiliate station.
Uh-huh.
So it looks like we may not have there may not be a conflict at this point with the nominee and the bylaws. In other words, if Ursula's intent with the contract was to say, well, there's a separate area, and I kind of support that. If they're not paying dues, why would they get full benefits of the foundation in the trial period time, but that would actually have to be spelled out in the contract.
That's true. It would have to be spelled out as a negative. And if they signed that, then it's possible that they could be prohibited from sending an affiliate. If it's not spelled out, then the contract makes them an affiliate without restrictions.
At least that's the way the definition in this in the bylaws reads.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, pursuant to the written agreement could be that those, just those words mean, well, it's what's in the written agreement. But the way that the sentence is written, it's more that if a station has signed an agreement to air programming, to broadcast programming, that that's the definition of the affiliate station. Because that's how it says, an affiliate station shall be defined as. And then it only mentions broadcasting programming. So that's it.
So who or what is the final arbiter of the bylaws? Is it our legal counsel?
It would be. And so I could cut this paragraph and paste it to an email and write to the council and ask the question to say if there's a tier of affiliates who do not pay dues and therefore are on a limited trial period, are they eligible for full benefits as the bylaw state? So,
question, please.
I'm sorry, who is that?
This is Serene.
Go ahead, Serene.
I wasn't here when you guys set up the agenda, so I'm not quite sure the context in which this is being discussed. But I think if we're saying, and you're saying programs, if they're broadcast programs that are distributed by Pacifica, so if someone is getting Democracy Now, let's say, which is not a Pacifica-owned program per se, but if they're getting Democracy Now and they're getting it through the Internet or anything other than the KU, which is our KU, they're in fact broadcasting programs which are also distributed by Pacifica, but they're not broadcasting something that Pacifica has distributed. So I guess, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that could very well be part of the issue. And I don't know whether the stations that are being discussed, I don't know how they get the programming or whether, in fact, we're also talking about FSRN. FSRN, again, it's a program. I don't know what the status of their contract is. I don't know if that's fully considered a Pacifica-owned program or whether they also retain a level of independence and distribute some of their programs themselves, so that, too, is not going through the KU band. It may be as simple as things that we control the distribution of as opposed to things that we distribute that other that they can also access through other means. That's my...
Serene, I think you have an excellent point in that when these bylaws were written, I don't think the folks that drafted these bylaws they didn't quite see that the future would hold a time where stations could get the same programming that the foundation's using through other means. And so I think you're right. The intent of these bylaws was to control the programming distributed or provided or distributed is the term here, by the foundation. And we are now in an odd situation where actually both national programs are distributed independently as well as through the foundation. And so it creates a kind of a situation where we're not sure who's an affiliate. According to this definition and based on what Serene suggested now, which I agree with, every station that broadcast Democracy Now! Could be called an affiliate state, all 650 of them, because they are airing a program, although they don't have a written agreement with the foundation, I guess. So anyway, I still see all this kind of question coming up about who's an affiliate when they could be airing programming that's not exactly controlled by the foundation, although Democracy Now! Is providing and distributing these shows to affiliates.
Rick, this is Ursula. I'd like to
Okay, speak. Ursula, yeah, can you help her with this?
I think that this is getting more confusing than it really needs to be. It's the decision to have affiliate board members really had nothing to do with issues of programs, and it's really separate from the issue of Democracy Now! And how you receive the program. Its genesis came from the fact that a core group of stations, which are very, very old stations that have had relationships with Pacifica since pretty much the beginning of the concept of community radio, have always had a relationship with Pacifica and felt that they were very much part of the mission of what we were accomplishing, and they felt that particularly during the Pacifica struggle in the end of the 90s, that they played a role in defending that mission. And they felt that, or still feel, that they're our political and mission-based family. And they felt that they wanted to participate in that mission. That's really where the idea of affiliate board members comes from. It has nothing to do with programming and distribution. So when this when the criteria that was set up by the bylaws were written quite hurriedly, this section of them, and the criteria had to be made, and so it was written in that way. But the motivation and the reason had to do with partnership in the mission and partnership in governance. And when we set this up, there was a great deal of discussion actually among the stations, particularly, I don't know if Teresa, you remember this, we were in Utah when this was discussed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And Dina, you were there too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Really the issue was more, there was a desire on the part of some affiliates to say, well, there are certain affiliates who are really very connected to the mission, and there's other affiliates who really are not politically interested at all in the mission, but just want to take programming. And those of us who feel we want to participate in the mission feel we should be the ones involved with governments because we have a special relationship and a special commitment. And there was a great deal of discussion about whether a special distinction should be made or not in that area. Now, in the end, we did not do that because it's too complicated to start making those distinctions between, you know, stations. It gets to be very divisive in a way to say, well, you're more committed than you. So that distinction was not made, and it was left open. When the idea of a no fee contract was established, it was on the advice of our council that a distinction be made there, because that's a very clear distinction where a commitment is being made by one particular station and another station has not reached that level of commitment where they're actually making a financial commitment to Pacifica. And it seemed advisable to make that distinction, for a lot of reasons. Partly because paying for something is a commitment to something, and partly out of courtesy to those stations that have made that commitment, and some of them have made a considerable commitment. So that distinction was made at that point. I just wanted to clear that up. This is not about program distribution, and it is very clearly about the contract. So there is no ambiguity there. That the stations that are taking Democracy Now without Pacifica affiliation have nothing to do with this. They have no relationship to Pacifica. This is about the stations that have a relationship with us and are in our network. I also want to make clear, I am not, you know, my bringing this issue up in no way is meant to disparage the person in question who comes from a station that's not paying. I really want to make that clear. I just think we need to be clear about this because now we've created a contradiction, and that on some level this has to be resolved, for the future.
This is Chandra. I just wanted to get a clarifying question, if that's okay, with Ursula.
Sure.
No, I'm asking Rip if I can.
Go ahead.
Okay. When you talk about council, which council do you mean?
John Krigler is the council that is involved with our contract,
okay.
Making our contract.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to
yeah.
distinguish that question. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Ursula for that. That was a very good presentation and certainly clarified it to me that there could be a differentiation on the role of the station based on the fee, and that if there's a fee being paid, then that station is a full affiliate. So it could...
Rip, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, please.
Okay. Part of the reason why I wanted to clarify, too, is that I feel like, in a way, it's my job to, you know, make you aware that part of the reason I think we really need to clear this up is because this issue of an affiliate board member does have a lot of a lot attached to it on the part of a number of stations who do feel that they're in partnership with Pacifica. And so, you know, there are consequences to what we do in terms of their, you know, feelings towards us, you know, and I don't think we should be completely oblivious to that.
I agree. I think that is a good point. It would be something to go, and I'm not saying that's happening this year, but, you know, it would be something that some year there would be two affiliate directors who really are not taking an interest in the affiliate program. So, is there further discussion on this? I think it's been fruitful, and I think that we should, in fact, take this paragraph from the bylaws and find out whether a fee associated with the contract and whether it impacts this year. I agree that we need to resolve this for the future because it's just going to get more confusing, I think, with more and more entities who are called affiliates becoming part of the group. And at least there would be one clear delineation, and that would be the fee, whether there's a fee or not.
Well, this may not be... could I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Dina.
This is Dina. This meeting is probably not the time to discuss it, but I have some concerns that of how we get the affiliate directors, because that was the initial intent with the smaller group years ago in 2001 when we met with them, and it was really Teresa and I who went to the board and tried to get affiliates on the board, but it was with the intent that there be a relationship back and forth, and it was the affiliates who really asked for a coordinator, and that's how Ursula got hired, and it was the affiliates who meet with the coordinator, and that's the relationship that Pacifica has back and forth, and suddenly there seems to be a separation going on that I don't see is going to benefit the affiliate stations as a whole or the relationship back and forth between the coordinator, the affiliates, and Pacifica. There's a separation happening that isn't going to be healthy for the affiliate network as a whole, isn't healthy for Pacifica, who isn't aware of that delineation beginning to happen. And I don't know how we can address it, but it needs to be a topic, I think, for discussion within the affiliate task force and then brought to the board.
Well, I have a suggestion on that.
Go ahead, John.
The national board meeting is going to be in New York. Well, it's going to be in Newark, but it's close enough to you, Dina, that you could come and speak. The one
uh-huh.
in January.
Uh-huh.
So I think it should be raised to the board and by somebody who was part of the organizing committee of setting this up would be a perfect person to articulate that perspective.
Okay. I'll be glad to.
I certainly hope that the people who
Teresa,
are...
Teresa, are you going to be there? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you were part of that.
I'm afraid I cannot come to New York or New Jersey at the end of the month.
Okay.
But certainly there should be an understanding that the affiliate directors are advocates for the affiliates and should take an active interest in the program. And Rip, I have to commend you. You have been superb. I cannot imagine a finer job than how you have served on the national board, and I wish you were still there.
I totally agree.
Teresa, I really appreciate that, although the phrase can't imagine a better one. I can't, a little bit much. But, I mean, I didn't even send anything out for this meeting. I would say that I have participated on the task force, but I'm not really that good at being the chair in terms of the organization of the meetings. But I appreciate that. And what I was going to say is that this could be the final business tonight. It's not on the agenda, but it was been spoken to several times, that we really feel that the reason for having affiliate directors on, we would think certainly they're going to work with the affiliate task force. I don't know if it can be mandated. I don't know how this works for other committees at the PNB. I've been there for a couple of years, but I don't recognize that there are committees where ex officio members are there. Everyone seems to be elected to the committees, including the task force. So
The task force doesn't require elected members.
Oh, that's true.
And last year, in 07, the affiliate task force decided that we were going to open it up to other affiliates that are not on the PNB, which is why I encouraged you recently to continue, and now I'm saying it publicly because I hope you will.
I will. If I can get these, be on the list, I'll certainly continue on. I think, though, that there was an opinion expressed earlier in the call that, or at least a suggestion that is, or a question, is there a way that we could get affiliate directors who are elected to the PNB to be a part of the affiliate task force without them just volunteering to do it? That it would seem like it would come with the role of being elected to the board.
Don, right here.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I think it's really important that there are several things. First of all, if a director who is on a PNB committee misses a certain number of meetings, they're taken off that committee for poor attendance. So that's one thing that we need to look at. Now, I don't want to personalize this, but it's very possible that that could be the case presently. But also, it seems to me that when we seat directors who are from the affiliates, that directors make it clear that we really want them to be very deeply involved with and closely associated with the affiliates task force. And when reports are made to PNB, I think we could, in a sense, mandate in the report whether the affiliates directors attended, to put some pressure to some degree on them to participate, because it's the natural thing, and I think their constituencies probably assume that this is happening. So I think there are some informal ways that we can also put some pressure on the affiliate directors to be a part of this task force. And one way would be to report as to the attendance for these and whether the affiliate directors participated.
Yeah, we could report that to that affiliate organization. Couldn't we do that, the one that makes nominations?
Well, the Affiliate Alliance did make
Alliance,
nominations,
yeah.
But none of their nominations were elected this year.
The other thing, if I could say something, is if you don't have affiliate representation on the affiliate committee and the affiliate task force, if the affiliate task force starts making recommendations, what you're going to have is a micromanagement from Pacifica telling affiliates ultimately what should or shouldn't be happening, when in fact the purpose of the affiliate board members was to have some input into what the affiliate needs are. And that's where that disconnect is going to happen.
That's a very good point. I was just Now, thinking about when Don mentioned the constituency, and I thought, how does it work in other elections? And how it works is that if you're unhappy with an elected person's performance, you can vote them out. However, the affiliate stations don't have any play in that. So the nominees then go to the board, and the board elects, but the board doesn't necessarily elect based on whether the performance was evaluated well by the affiliate stations themselves, if you follow where I'm going with that. So
yes,
whether a director performed to the satisfaction of any group of affiliates, there's no way for that to come back and affect the next election. So,
Serene, for the stats, please? I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought you were done.
No, go ahead. Oh, go ahead. I am done, actually. So, Serene,
okay.
Go ahead.
Thanks. Well, you know, I think it's important that there be at least one affiliate person on the affiliates committee, because the needs of at least of their station, and hopefully they're in touch with other affiliate stations, would be better understood by the person who actually lives the experience. But I don't think that the absence of affiliate directors on the task force, if neither of them decide that this is where their primary interest is at this point, because everything that comes out of the committee comes back to the board, so it's not as though they will be uninvolved in things that affect how we deal with our affiliates. I don't think that the absence of the affiliate directors on the task force will mean that Pacifica is micromanaging what happens to the affiliates. The PND does not affect and does not determine what affiliates do within their own stations. It is a matter of managing the relationship between and among Pacifica, or I should say between Pacifica and its affiliates. So I don't think it's a matter of micromanaging the stations. I sort of disagree with the statement that I heard recently. And I think that affiliate directors, depending on their level of involvement with other stations, because sort of who comes to the board varies depending on the station. I think in many cases it's been, you know, a GM, because they sort of, I guess the people who send them there believe they have a feel for, you know, what's happening within all areas of their station. But in one year it might be a program director from an affiliate station. That person might have a great interest in our programming committee. So I don't think we need to sort of try to prescribe. First, I don't think we can do that, because the composition of the committees is determined in the bylaws. So I don't think there's any way that we can go about trying to change who must serve on what committee. Nor do I think it should be sort of used as a pressure tool or an evaluation measure of how well, you know, someone does or what they have to contribute. But because these folks come from other stations, most of which we hope share our mission and our overall worldview, which is widely different in a given station anyway. But I would think that they would have ideas, whether fiscal or, you know, promotional or publicity or whatever the case is, that they use in their local areas that might benefit Pacifica stations, you know, the sister stations. So I'm not worried that if someone doesn't choose to sign up for this particular task force, that they will not be able to contribute to the work the task force does, and that their contributions elsewhere should be devalued.
I just want to make a point that I find it interesting that the PNB did not elect anybody from an alliance of a grouping of over or close to a dozen or more stations who really felt as a group that whoever they put up would benefit both for the affiliates as a whole and for the PNB, and that the PNB of its own accord just selected a random other individual. There's a disconnect going on here that isn't going to be healthy in the long run.
I agree. This is kind of where I'm going. I think it's a good discussion, and I don't know that, and I think all of us are contributing here to a discussion that I don't think, that I haven't heard before, and so this is new ground, so we're all just venturing ideas, and then, well, this is what the collaborative process is all about. But I also think there's some kind of a disconnect when affiliates as a group are, I mean, all of them, 130 of them, that they are not represented as a group. They're represented as disparate entities under the current system, because once those names are put forward, there's just no rhyme or reason as to why someone gets elected. And without revealing anything, I would, because I saw the round-by-round vote. And to me, it was really random.
One.
What's that?
You're probably the only one that saw the round-by-round vote.
Oh. But and to me, it looked like it was haphazard. I mean, sure, there was some consolidation on the first, on some early rounds, but otherwise, I don't see where there was much discussion about this. I think this was a rushed event through various holiday seasons, and didn't really get the attention that it should have. Although, you know, I'll admit there were the phone calls, and so a handful of board members did hear from these nominees, each one. So that much was done.
Do you know if the PNB members are aware of the alliance and the job that it's done over the last the last 7 years?
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
The
there is an awareness that there's something called an alliance, and I actually don't think people understand what it means.
No. And they've never spoken before the PNB.
But, you know, it's come up among different groups. Over the 2 years I've been there, I remember my first year, more of this kind of discussion came up. There was discussion about the affiliate stations who had worked through the turmoil of 99 and 2000. And so I know that came up because I remember an email back and forth that I had, and I remember sending a director links to news items that are archived about affiliate stations and the role that they played and how they're still in the news archives about the Pacifica Revolution of 99-2000 and the role that they played. So I know that came up, but I would say this year, 2007, I haven't had any conversations about the history of affiliates.
Well, I think there's going to be more than there's going to be a greater disconnect this year, because I don't think that Pacifica is going to be going to the NFCB or the GRC. And
say that again?
I don't think the Pacifica is going to be going to the conferences where the radio stations meet.
I know that's a feeling that you're verbalizing. I share that sentiment with you.
It was expressed publicly.
Right.
So I have
by whom?
Feeling.
It was expressed publicly by whom?
Because of the finance.
Well, I can say that in a financial report, the CFO told us there was no money and that we were really going to be cutting back. And I don't know whether the detail at that time, but I'm sure that I could find public session references to the fact that in this fiscal year, we're going to be tightening the belt more than ever.
However, the question that I have, if I can be so bold as to say this publicly at this point, is the affiliate program brings in enough money to send the coordinator. It's at those two meetings that the coordinator meets face-to-face with at least 40 different managers out of our network.
It's not recognized, Dina. You make a valid point, but I've tried to argue that over and over again at PNB meetings, and it doesn't register. It doesn't register.
There's a difference of viewpoint as to whether the affiliate program makes money or not. Now, in a public vote of the PNB, there's unanimous support for the affiliate program, and unanimous support, accolades go on and on for the coordinator. But when it comes time to to talking about the expenditures of funds. Suddenly, it said the affiliate program doesn't make any money, and that until it pays 1/6 of the costs of DN and FSRN and the satellite fees, that in fact it will not be making money. So you have to do the math to figure out when would the affiliate program achieve that status. At that point, the CFO would recognize that the program is making money. And that's all public information. That's discourse that's been gone on the floor, the meetings. So I'm just summarizing it. And I'm not just pointing at the CFO. It's just that that's the person that gives us this financial data and interprets how the national office is going to be spending the money. So in my conversation with the CFO about the future of the affiliate program and what we called the outreach director, most of this conversation had to do about the new duties, which in fact are those duties of going to these conferences, meeting with other radio stations, other activists in media, trying to get Pacifica at the table with the rest of the country. That's what the affiliate coordinator outreach director does. And in that discussion, it was said that probably that's not a role that we're going to play, that there is no money for that. Now, when they say there is no money for that, after we just finished spending an hour talking about how the affiliate program was paying for itself, well, then you kind of realize, well, wait a minute, there's a difference in perspective here.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Of it's one thing for Pacifica to dictate that the coordinator cannot meet face-to-face with the affiliates, but how do the affiliates feel not meeting with their coordinator?
Well, they have to make their feelings known. They have to make their feelings known to the executive director and the chief financial officer and the people that run the network. And
well,
they should write to the national
before.
Board, too.
They did that once before, and 80-some-odd of the affiliates dropped out.
Well,
and that we've just spent 7 years building this network back up.
Dina, I think that we need to put that in our letter, that we, and it should be addressed to the board as well as the executive director, and remind them of those things, that this is a client. It's a relationship with, you know, with clients, and there are certain services that the clients expect. For the money that evidently National Board, someone on the National Board doesn't feel is enough, but the clients expect certain things from that. And one is a relationship with a liaison, so that when they have concerns, they're...
That was the whole purpose of getting a coordinator in the first place.
Well, we understand that, but you're preaching to the converted here. We're not the ones that have to be convinced about this, because we're on the call because we're committed. The ones that have to be convinced about this are not on the call, including another affiliate rep who never attends affiliate task force meetings.
Rip, this is Ursula. Can I say something?
Go ahead, Ursula.
Yep. I spoke with Phil today, and I don't know if what's going to be the ultimate decision. But Phil is at the national office, and he indicated to me that I should send a memo expressing the need to go to the NFCB, and it sounded like they were prepared to do that. So I feel
well,
that's
good. That would be good news.
Information. Yeah.
And I think the CFO is planning on attending the NFCB.
Well, I spoke today with Brian DeShazer about it, because he's been trying to figure it out too, and it sounded like some people are going and some people aren't, and
yeah.
It's not quite clear yet who, but it sounds like at least verbally there was an acknowledgement that I should be there.
Okay, good. And I'm glad about that, although even just the one meeting, at least that would be in place, because I think that there would be more more such events that the coordinator should go to. I am glad that at least NFCB is very minimal in terms of that participation from Pacifica. Is there more comment on this matter?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, it's great. Well, you know, I just in listening to other media, including the non-commercial, but listener-supported media, there are grants that are available. I mean, there's foundation money. We do accept foundation money. Whether or not we should is a different story. But we do accept foundation money, and there are foundations that provide monies specifically for targeting new audiences. And the NFCB is an opportunity for us to market our programming to new audiences. So it seems to me that we know that we're in a fiscal crunch. Rather than saying, okay, well, we can send one person from here and maybe two people from there, why isn't someone looking at grant money so that we can, you know, have youth representation, you know, and have other people who are involved in affiliates' work represented that way, instead of trying to stretch the dimes that we have? Why aren't we looking for new money when it's available?
Well, I agree with that, and I'm glad that you said that. And that also is something that should be written, I think, to the two executives at the foundation, because it's my feeling that the sentiment on the part of the executives at this moment is that they want to focus on what they're calling the core business, which is the five stations and the fundraising. And I'm concerned that they're looking at the short term instead of the long term in that regard, and that also they're kind of overlooking the fact that part of the role that Pacifica has played and what should continue to play is to engender a national system of getting the word out and community information, because even if everyone in the five station signal areas voted for something progressive, they wouldn't carry, because we need more voting. We need the voting from people all around the country. And that's because I'm kind of into the talk and the political things. But regardless of what it is, with the arts, health, all the other aspects of programming that are not addressed by the commercial sector, I think it's important that Pacifica be that entity that can carry that flag around the entire country and engender this kind of support that it has now. So I appreciate that perspective, and I hope that somehow that will become verbalized to the two executives. Are there other comments about this matter?
Well, I hope I'm not the only one that will be sending a letter to the national board. I mean, I'm learning new things on this call about evidently some comments and some, I guess, some direction that maybe the CFO and the ED are articulating, and the national board is nodding their head, you know, giving them a nod on that. And I hope that someone on the national board is organizing a kind of a rebuttal or some suggestions as to maybe this is not the way to go. I was not aware that there was such maybe complete abandon or I guess that's the term, abandon of this program.
Well, to your comment there, I don't think there's actually been an opportunity yet for the board to digest this. The last 2 months, I would say, the last 2 months of board meetings have been unusual and strained and pulled in a number of different directions, let me put it that way. And so I don't think there's been time, and kind of even though some directors probably on this call, as Chandra noted, we're the ones that seem to care the most, and I'm sure there's a couple others not on the call who do care and just aren't here tonight, but may have noticed these comments. But I don't think there's been an opportunity yet for this to come back, and this board, you know, is going to have a turnover, at least 9 members or so, something like that. So there just hasn't been this opportunity, and I can't say that I see an abandonment, but it's certainly a feeling I got. and evidently Chandra got something of the same, and I think Don got something of that too. So we all know that there's something in the air, and I think it would be timely for members who may not be perceived as having a vested interest. I think I'm perceived as having a vested interest in what I say to the ED and the CFO, but like Teresa, Serene, I think you folks are ones that can write and probably get more attention on this matter. So I encourage you to write even a short note about this, about what each of you has said, because that's relevant. Are there any other comments?
Well, I'm wondering whether you, as the representative of the affiliates, need to contact all the affiliates and among yourselves somehow have a conversation. Because it certainly would come back to us that we never alerted them of any changes or even the possibility of changes.
Well, you know, the bylaws protect the program to some extent because the matter is there of having affiliates. I mean, there's directors. There's a lot of language about affiliates and about the affiliate program. So I don't think it can be kind of written off, you know, overnight.
And we have contracts, too, that state
exactly.
services we're providing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But again, you know, a lot of damage can be done by psychologically ignoring the program. You don't have to actually cancel the program to inflict damage.
In fact, I would discourage us from contacting the affiliates and making that kind of a suggestion. I don't think that's the proper focus. I think we have to keep focused on what we do right. We have done so much right. It would be demoralizing to focus on suspicions or an anticipation of what we can't do, when I think, you know, our cup is like 90% full, and it is not the right thing to say, oh, anticipate a reduction of services and write a letter. I don't think that's healthy.
Well, there is going to be some discussion among affiliates. May not go out on a list to all of them, but I know there will be some discussion about this. First of all, I know the Pacifica Alliance is kind of reeling right now from the idea that neither one of their nominations made it. So, and I know that there will be discussion there.
Absolutely. And I must say, I can't imagine that they're going to spend a nanosecond next year trying to promote anybody. And the other piece that I didn't say about the affiliate directors that have been and served up until this go-round are people who have been managers of radio stations. They know how to read budgets. They know how to run a station. They know management. They know administration. They have so much to offer the PNB, and the PNB has not utilized that information in the way that they could have. And there are many PNB members who don't have half the information that the affiliate board members have had about radio. So I just want that to go on record, that if we look at the background of the affiliate board members who have been on board since the beginning,
again,
their histories are extensive.
Can I get on the stand, please?
Okay, you're next, Rain.
Yeah, this is Rain. I know I don't know where we are on the agenda or what the agenda is, but I do want to say that I sort of hear a thread being repeated. If we have 120, 130 affiliates, and there's a group of 15 who have affiliated for the purpose sending someone as a nominee to the board, which means that's slightly more than 10% of our total affiliates. The fact that the people that they sent weren't selected, I don't think it's the end of the world. There's nothing that stops the PND or, you know, from sending an invitation out to affiliate stations and saying, hey, you know, we'd like to get some ideas from you or this committee from sending a broader invitation that says, hey, you know, we'd like to talk to you about some of the management structures that you've put in place or the governance structures you've put in place at your station. So the fact that we don't have people who are, that the people who were elected to the board, and Lori Tuguma, who's on, as well as Rip, and the, you know, other folks who've been on in previous years have all been general managers. But, you know, we have many listener members. Three-quarters of our national board are listener members. They're not even staff, far more management staff. So the fact that someone is not a manager does not mean that that the PND is going to suffer, with all respect to you, that the PND is going to be utterly lost because it doesn't have a lot of management people on it. You know, affiliate seats represent two spots on the board. Of the 20 other seats, only four of them, I'm sorry, only five of them are other staff. The other 15 are not, I'm sorry, somebody needs to mute.
I'm on mute, aren't I?
No, you're not.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The other 15 people, many of whom I think have made tremendous contributions over the past 4 years that we've been using this structure, have made valuable contributions. But I guess what I'm hearing, and my concern is that people listening to the stream may not have heard the disclaimer that I heard at least once that says, oh, you know, we're not saying anything about the people who were elected, because it's beginning to sound like, oh, well, you know, well, no one from here was elected and no one with that particular experience was elected. I don't know what the PND looked at in making their decision, the PND members, but they're looking at it at the end of a year of having done work and maybe understanding what some of the weaknesses and some of the strengths were of their own body, which, you know, it was an election. In an election, someone wins and someone doesn't. So I just want to caution us about we're complaining about the results and it being taken as something personal. You know, I don't know what agenda item that is, but we're on now, but since I keep hearing a similar comment or similar thread, I'm wondering if in fact we're just sort of drifting or if this particular line of thought is crucial to every agenda item.
Well, no, actually this was about the whether or not stations who have the new kind of contract, and so I do believe we've deviated off of that at this point. So, and you're right, Serene, this is what democracy is looks like. So we voted, the board voted, and two folks were elected, and that's where we're at.
This is Teresa.
Go ahead.
I guess this is an issue that was discussed just before we started the meeting, or you made a brief statement, Rip, and I think also Don did at the beginning of the meeting. And I think that we are concerned, and maybe this needs to be another issue of new business. It's something that seems to have come up because things are evolving at the national office. And, I mean, I'm prepared to say without anything that I've heard in this meeting that I've been concerned about some of the treatment of the affiliate program, because we seem to pass things out of this task force or this committee, and people at the national board seem to just completely ignore it. I mean, the CFO says we have financial issues, and I can appreciate that, but we have to strike some sort of balance between a group of people that's working very hard on a program that seems to be doing very, very well, and the national board that seems to be rather dismissive of our work.